As we know, you're beginning a series of sermons in the Psalms, and so we're coming in Psalm 1. If you can turn with me, if you'd like to follow it. Psalm 1. The entire psalm, of course, is six verses, so here we go. This is God's Word. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Well, as we said a moment ago, Bill, congregation, we are just starting a series of sermons in the book of the Psalms. What makes you happy in your life? I mean, what is your goal to gain real happiness in your life? Is your life to be a life of blessing or not? That which you want to make you happy tells a lot about you, doesn't it? The goal to happiness for many people is such things as maybe getting a lot of money, like winning the lottery, having great pleasure, things like going to an amusement park. For some, that just means the pleasure of eating good food, and others think that winning argument is pleasure. Many people truly enjoy all of the above, but the chief delight of the people of Jehovah God is that which really pleases and is truly glorifying Jehovah God. The goal for Jehovah God's people is to glorify God, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism number 1 says. Here's the question, number 1. What is the chief end of man? Here's the answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, Psalm 1 describes the godly man, and Psalm 1 tells us who the godly man is. In the first section of Psalm 1, the psalmist speaks of the man who is truly blessed, who is truly happy. Let us consider his words and see if we can learn how we can be blessed. This evening we are looking at this text in five heads. Number 1, the blessed man described. Secondly, the blessed man defined. Thirdly, the wicked man is seen by comparison. Fourthly, the blessed man separates himself. And fifth, the man who separated himself will then be separated by God. Well, here we go again. Here's number 1, the blessed man described. You must remember what the blessed man does not do. Now, this is what this text says in verse 1, quote, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." This text tells us that the blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. This does not mean that he will not physically walk with them. This verse states that the blessed man does not walk in their counsel. Their words, their principles, their ideals are not his. This is so often not true, even in many churches today. Now, this text continued this way, quote, "nor stand in the path of sinners." It tells us that the blessed man stands not in the way of sinners. This does not mean that the blessed man will not physically stand and talk with them. It states that he does not stand in their way. He does not do as they do. The blessed man's actions or ways of doing things are not the actions of ways of sinners. This also is often not true in many churches, but it ought to be. Now this text continues again this way, quote, "Nor sit in the seat of scoffers." This does not mean that the blessed man does not physically sit and talk with them. It does mean that the blessed man ought not associate himself with those who openly scorn the gospel of Jesus. Again, this too often is not the case in so many churches. In short, the blessed man does not let the world set his standards. This is true for his actions every day of the week and for what he believes. Here, we have all of the oppositions of the blessed man. While he is awake, he walks, he stands, and he sits. Now, the text tells us that the blessed man has a different goal. His goal is to glorify Jehovah God. More, this text tells us that the blessed man has different motives. His motives are love of Jehovah God. More, this text tells us that the blessed man has different desires. His desires are to please Jehovah God. Finally, this text tells us that the blessed man is a commentary on Romans chapter 12. Now you must consider that the blessed man positively does. Now this is what this text says in verse 2, quote, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Once again, this text tells us that the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. As previously stated, the world is not to set the standard. The blessed man now states that Jehovah God's law is his standard. Oh, beloved, Jehovah God's law is not, say it again, is not just 10 commandments, but all of Jehovah God's word is the explanation of those 10 commandments. The blessed man is therefore delighted to read, to hear read, and to hear proclaimed Jehovah God's word. More, the blessed man meditates in that law. Since he is thus delighted with Jehovah God's law, he meditates on it continually. This is not a momentarily meditating, nor a 1 hour, nor a week meditating, but constantly, day and night. The things he really delights in, we think much on, we speak much about. Why so little meditating on it and little speaking about Jehovah God's word? Is it that there is too much not delight? More, this is what this text says in verse 3, quote, "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers." Notice again, this text tells us that the blessed man brings forth fruit. Now, this is what the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that your good works are your fruits. Look, if you can, the question and answer 86 this way. We'll start with question here again, number 86. Since then, we are redeemed from our misery by grace through Christ without any merit of ours, why should we do good works? The answer? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, that with our own life we show ourselves thankful to God for his blessings, and that he be glorified through us. Then also, that we also may be assured of our faith by the fruits thereof, and by our godly walk, win others also to Christ. Now this is what Jesus taught us in John 15, verses 1 through 5, so known. Quote, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruits of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus clearly tells us that fruit will be present in every true believer. All too often, we fail tragically here. Furthermore, the blessed man will prosper in his goals. This is never true of the sinful goals. Another thought is that Heidelberg's Catechism number 86, same thing, teaches us that the Christ Jesus may be glorified through the blessed man. Another way of saying it is that when the blessed man seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his endeavors will certainly be prospered. Also here, the church too often to date seems to fail greatly. Well, that's the first point. Here's the second point. The blessed man defined. Oh, beloved, the ultimate blessed man is Jesus the Savior. As we've seen, this text is not a true picture of us. In each of the descriptions of the blessed man, we fail far short of the mark. Is there then not truly any blessed man? This is the description of a perfect man, and as such can only be a perfect description of Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ is the only ultimate blessed man who has truly disassociated himself from the counsel, the actions, and the scoffering of the unbelieving world. Jesus the Christ is the only ultimate blessed man who alone has perfectly delighted in Jehovah God's word, and he has perfectly kept that word. This was the reason for and the meaning of his life and death. Jesus, the only ultimate blessed man, has perfectly kept Jehovah God's word that he, the righteous, might suffer on Calvary's cross for us, the unrighteous, and redeem us to Jehovah God. Beloved, the quote, "It is finished," spoken by him on the cross, was the work he was sent by the Father to accomplish. Now, furthermore, however, with what we're saying about this great blessed man is Jesus, beloved, you must know that every blessed man is a true believer. Every blessed real man is something less than that description of the perfect man. But it is the standard for every true believer. But it is especially the standard of those who are blessed in Christ, those who are true believers. It is our aim and our goal to be conformed to the image of Christ, just as Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 29, quote, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." Oh, beloved, sanctification of the blessed man is a process started at conversion and continued throughout his life. Once again, sanctification will be the completion of the process of conforming the blessed man to the image of Jesus only at death or at the second coming of Jesus, and your glorification will come. There must be in this life the beginning, the earnest striving, and the constant growth, or we are not truly born again as a truly blessed man. Well, that's the second point. Here's the second point. The wicked man is seen by comparison. Now, this is what this text says in verses 4 and 5. The wicked, once again, are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Now, the wicked man is pictured as chaff. Now, the unblessed man is like a withered tree, like a withered flower, or like dry grass. Oh, beloved, the wicked man is a spiritually lifeless and a useless substance. More, that wicked man is like a plant which is good only to burn or to be blown away. Furthermore, the wicked man is a picture of seeming reality, but he actually has no spiritual reality. Now, the wicked seems to prosper here in this life. Every unblessed man appears to be like a green tree, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 37, verse 35 and 36, quote, "I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passes away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found." Oh, beloved, all too often we judge by appearances. This was the problem with Job's friends. Someday this false happiness will be seen for what it really is. Well, once again, that's the third point. Here's the fourth. The fourth point is the blessed man separates himself. Once again, this tells us that the blessed man separates himself in his everyday activities. This means that the blessed man, now this means like every born of the believer here, in his walk does not walk with the ungodly. This means that the blessed man in this stand does not stand with the sinners. This means that the blessed man in his sitting does not sit with the scoffers. For the unbeliever, there is a progression in retrogression. Oh, beloved, the blessed man does separate himself, as Paul puts it this way in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, quote, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect." If this was true in the psalmist's day, how much more so today? The blessed man is taught to utterly abhor the life of ungodliness. What fellowship was light with darkness? Those whose fellowship with darkness are not happy or blessed. How much you have grown spiritually, even though you are not perfect. But even in the degree that you've grown spiritually, you are blessed. Once again, this tells us that the blessed man thus is positive in this everyday pleasures. Oh, beloved, the blessed man has his greatest delight in Jehovah God's law. You must know that the blessed man never is forced to serve Jehovah, but he serves Jehovah God in delighted service. Furthermore, the blessed man meditates in Jehovah God's law, as the psalmist tells us, through Psalm 119. Even in the blessed man reads Jehovah God's word, and that reading is not a casual reading. The blessed man's reading of Jehovah God's word must be a deep study with much thinking. Again, the blessed man must meditate day and night. Let me ask you, my friend, how much do you meditate? Let me ask you, do you have a family altar? Do you have private devotions? Psalm 1 is not what one must do to be happy or blessed, but a description of the happy or blessed man. Well, that's the third point. Here's the fourth. That was the fourth. This is the fifth. And the fifth man is the man who separated himself will then be separated by God. The scripture tells us that there is a separation by kind. Now, this is what this text says in verse 5. Pick it up. Now, this is what this text says in verse 5, quote, "Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." There will be the terrible and finally separation at the time of judgment. This text tells us that sinners are unable to stand, that is, they will be condemned. They will be consumed by the wrath and the justice of Jehovah God. That tells us that the congregation will be totally purified or glorified. Now, Jesus tells us about the separation of the sheep and the goats this way in Matthew 25, verse 32 and 33, quote, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left." Now, Jesus tells us about the separation of wheat and tares this way in Matthew 13, verse 30. "Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now that tells us that there was the congregation in the Old Testament, and there is the congregation in the New Testament, and that all refers to the physical church of Jesus Christ. Finally, we are told that there is a fork in the road. Now this is what this text says in verse 6, quote, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." This means that the way of righteous is known to Jehovah God. And this means that blessed man or happy man is shown to be the righteous man. Oh, beloved, the blessed man's way from beginning to end is known of Jehovah God. Now, all that means that the blessed man is foreknown, is directed, and it is protected. This tells us that the wicked man is heading for destruction. You know what will happen to the tares. They will be burned. You know what will happen to the certain kind of fish. They will be discarded. Finally, this, beloved, tells us that the blessed man is heading for heaven, for glory, and every true believer is thus truly a blessed man. Well, it's the fifth point. Short conclusion. Beloved, choose in time your company for eternity. Your choice is a road, a way of life. This is the tree offer of the gospel. Eternal happiness or total and complete unhappiness. God grant us forgiveness for listening to the counsel or following the example of or not disassociating over ourselves from the world. God grant us a delight in his law and a determination to meditate on and speak of his law continually, that you might bring forth and be separated in your way, that your life might be a life of true blessing. Anything less is to be chaff, driven by the wind to the total destruction of the judgment. Father, let's pray. Father, how we thank you that Jesus is the only ultimate blessed man. And he is now perfectly delighted in the Father. Oh, Father, help us, each one of us, that every true believer knows that this first psalm is to teach us to be more like Jesus every day. Teach us more and more that we are to delight in your law and to determination to meditate on and speak of your law continually. that we may bring forth fruit, that our lives might be lives of true blessing. Amen and amen.